Amen.
Yeah, I'm on the road, but it ain't spiritual. Amen. I hope if I offended anybody over here, if I offended anybody in this church, somebody come up here one time and they stood up right there, and then another time another fella stood up over here that used to go here and visit and all. They come back and they said, if I've offended anybody in this church, I'm sorry. That ain't the way you do it. You go say, hey, I offended you and I know it. I'm sorry. You don't do it, you know. That's wrong. See?
It is good to see you. How do you follow that? Amen. God is good. It is a joy to be here. I always count it a pleasure. This meeting has always been a highlight for my family. And we've always tried to attend like a Baptist when we want to come. Amen. Now, I've always tried to be faithful, even if I wasn't preaching, and because I enjoy it and because I need it. And but it is good. Wasn't it good to see the kids sing? Amen. And riches untold. The older I get, the more blessed I feel. And I told the church a while back, said, I feel like David. He said, I once was young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. I failed him, but he's never failed me. And what great messages, amen. Prodigal. Amen. I pastored some of them. Amen. It's okay to say amen. Amen. And that's on numbers. That's amazing, isn't it? There was times as a young Christian when I read that and I thought, why is that in there? Bunch of names I can't pronounce. But Dr. Simpson taught us, say, when you go to them names, say them with authority. Nobody will ever say anything. They think you know what you're talking about, amen. But it is a joy, and we do appreciate that. I've often wondered, not to take anything away from the message, but they were in the desert, in the wilderness, wasn't they? Dr. Simpson, you think any of them other families, they wish they could have been up in there where Gershon was up on that cloud sometimes? Amen. I think a kid might have said, Daddy, I'm scared of the dark. Why can't we move closer to the light? Oh, that's for the children of Gershon, not us. Amen. And I've always believed that those that are going to receive the greatest rewards are those that are taken for granted and not in the spotlight. Amen. But it is good. Good to see old friends, and what a joy it is to be here. We're right before supper time, and we're going to try to preach what we feel the Lord has laid on our heart. I do appreciate this church, this pastor. There's not a day in my life that you do not get prayed for. Most of the men that preach here, I pray for Dr. Simpson, you and your family, I pray for every day. And a mentor, amen. So if I say something you don't like, it's his fault. Okay, amen. If you will, take the word of God and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. For the sake of time, if you will, let's stand for the reverence of the word of God. I am a King James man. I do not apologize for it. I believe I hold in my hand the Word of God. I believe it's good for us. Amen. It'll help us. Matthew chapter 11, and I'd like for us to read verse number 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? And behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. I'd like to call your attention to verse number 7, where Jesus asked the question, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? I'd like to preach on this thought. What are you going to look at? What are you going to look at? Father, as we come to you, we are grateful to be in this church, this great meeting, the great preaching that we've heard. And Lord, I'm sure the other preaching was just as good. We ask, Lord, a mighty thing. We ask, God, that you would help us. Help us to preach with passion, with power. And God, I ask that you'd stir the hearts of your people one more time. We're in desperate need of revival in America. And God, I ask that you would meet the need of every heart that's here, whatever it may be. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And the context of the passage is dealing with John the Baptist. John was in jail for preaching. Amen. They didn't name a road after him. Amen. He was in jail. Most Bible preachers are not going to be taken in by this world or accepted by this world, nor should they want to be accepted in this world. John was there for preaching truth. Amen. Now, John is the forerunner. Amen. I believe that the church today should have the job that John had, is preparing people to meet the Lord. That's what I believe. Amen. And he sent his disciples to Jesus, and John was saying, Are you he? I'm ready to go home. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm getting ready to go home. Amen. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Don't you want to live as old as your mother? I said, Not really. Amen. I'm okay if we don't finish tonight. Okay? I'm okay. There had been 400 years of silence when John stepped on the scene and he began to preach, and he was, let's say, an unusual man. He was not in the ministerial association. He was dressed different from everybody else. He wasn't cut from the same cloth, but he had been with God. And old John was not a preacher. He probably, if he was alive today, he'd probably still get his head cut off. He wouldn't have a television program. Amen. John would not have been accepted. He was different. I don't know what his preaching was like, but it was rough. Amen. He actually told people how to live. Amen. Imagine that in a Baptist church. Amen. I had one tell me one time, said, You have no right to tell us how to live. I said, Somebody got to. Amen. Because you ain't got a clue. Amen. There used to be a time when preachers preached against things. Now, don't get upset and walk out. I'm not going to preach on things. That's the pastor's job. Amen. Amen. I had a preacher tell me one time, Won't you come into my church and preach on this subject and straighten them out? I said, You messed them up, you straighten them out. Amen. That's your job. Amen. My job is to be here to help you. And a lot of memories brought back. Brother Tim, I remember him when he was a young guy. And amen. Dr. Sampson, when I was in Bible college, Tim would come preach chapel for me. And I remember the day we were leaving one day and we was going to my house. And how many deer hit you? I think 6 or 7 deer run into the side of his truck. And Brother Tim's been a friend, and most of the men here have stayed to ground. And we're going to be preaching along that line. What went you out to see? In our text, if you would look at it, I'd like to call your attention to the phrasing. I believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I want you to notice that last sentence in there. He said, a reed shaking with the wind, not a reed shaking in the wind. With the wind. John baptized Jesus. He called him the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And no doubt, John was going through some things. I don't believe that you can live for God without going through some things. Amen. I'm not as spiritual as the other preachers that have preached, but there's times I wonder if I'm wrong because I feel like I'm the only one that believes like I believe. Amen. I feel that way sometimes. Now, John was different. John lost his head over dancing. But yet we have dancing in Baptist churches today. Amen. The goal of this message today is to try to encourage you not to be moved with the wind. I want to give you just 3 points, and then I'm going to let you go eat. Amen. All right. Now, I know most of you say, I'm a Baptist preacher, and what you say really doesn't mean much when you're preaching. Amen. All right. Number one, John was not moved with culture.
Right.
He wasn't concerned about the culture of his day and time. We live in a time today when they want us to be tolerant. Amen. You're looking at a preacher that believes one man, one woman for life. Amen. One woman, one man for life. Amen. Not 2 women. Not 2 men. That's sick.
That's right.
They say, you're not supposed to say that. Doesn't matter. John wasn't moved by culture. It doesn't matter if they legalize it. What matters is what God says. God determines right and wrong. We live in a generation, and I'm old enough now, I have seen churches change with a culture. When we started our church, I was reading a book by a well-known liberal, and he says, when you start a church, what you need to do is you need to send out flyers through the mail and ask people, what kind of church do you want? And whatever they want, you apply that into your church. Say what you will, the larger churches have all them. Amen. John wasn't affected by the culture. Amen. Government actions and government laws didn't do him. Hey, he preached against the ruler of his day. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It's not lawful. Amen. He lost his head over that. But thank God he wasn't moved. Notice this, with the wind.
Right, amen.
The culture has impacted our churches beyond measure. Amen. Let me tell you how culture's done it. We've changed our books. Amen. Whatever kind of Bible you want, we'll just write one to fit you. Amen. I had a guy telling me the other day, said, our church believes the Bible. We just go by the Bible. I'm like, you ain't even got a Bible. It was a cowboy church, Dr. Simpson. You ain't got a Bible. One of the major verses I learned, hey, it's their Bible says it's for me and my horse. We'll serve the Lord. Amen. I'm sorry. Culture's not going to change me. You can change your book. I'll just stay with King James. Amen. It worked when they preached it in 1984 when I got saved. Amen. It works. It does kick, but it works. Amen. Hey, culture has changed us. Today, we have the world's music in our church. I like the old hymns. By the way, hymns teach doctrine. Amen. I use this phrase in my church. The new music is about them. Hymns are about him. Amen. I like the old songs. There's a fountain filled with blood. Amen. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge. I like that. I was a sinner, and that's what happened to me. Amen. Culture doesn't change it. Hey, if the Lord lets me come back next year, I won't have Bermuda shorts and a Hawaiian shirt. Amen. Amen. I told a guy, I'm local church now. I believe this. The guy said, can you believe what this other church is doing? I think I told you, and I said, your church can pass a law where all the men have to wear pink tutus. And I said, but that don't mean I got to go there. Amen. Don't mean I got to preach there, but I'm local church. You do what you want to do, but it don't mean we're going to have fellowship. Culture has changed our churches in America. There are things, Dr. Simpson, people used to preach on regular that you don't hear about no more.
That's right.
Now, let me say this. What was wrong 100 years ago, it's still wrong.
That's right.
Still wrong.
Yeah.
Amen. Culture. I've had the privilege of having more than one person try to tell me what to preach. They said, preacher, we'd have a larger church if you didn't mention some things. You know, you shouldn't mention what other people believe. Amen. Now, here's my reply to that. If I knew that there was a restaurant that was serving food where you'd get food poisoning, and I got up behind the pulpit and said, there's a certain restaurant, but I'm not going to name names. You be careful where you eat because you'll get food poisoning going there. I said, every one of you would want to know what restaurant it was. Amen. You would want me to name names. Hey, culture affects the church more than we'll ever realize, but John wasn't moved by culture. Number two, John wasn't moved by the crowd. Multitudes came. You know what he said? He said, do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. You just look it up. I'm not going to give you all the verses. You just look up John's preaching. He said, you do this, you bring forth. Hey, when the religious crowd comes, said, show me some fruit.
Right.
Bring it forth.
Yes.
Amen. Bring it forth. Amen. He didn't take your word for it. He wanted to see something. Amen. The crowd. Soldiers came. You got to do this, 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 and this. Hey, over and over again, he said the crowd didn't affect him. I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, the crowd will affect you. Amen. In our society, Bible preaching doesn't draw crowds. Come on now. Amen. Guy said, our church is growing so much, we just going to have to build, and I hate building programs. I said, won't you preach a little while? You won't have to build. Amen. You can remove some seats where it won't seem like they're so far away.
Yeah.
Amen. The crowd didn't affect John.
Right.
It didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter what they were. It didn't matter what they did. It didn't matter how much money they had. He preached truth. Well, we need that.
Amen.
He wasn't moved by the winds.
Amen. That's good.
I know some men that started out
sure.
King James. They started out in fundamental works.
Yeah.
But the battle was too much. You want to tell you what they done? They compromised.
Yeah.
They compromised. Now, I heard an old preacher say this one time. He had a 5-day message, Dr. Simpson, on compromise. And said he got to pray and he said, God, help me to preach this thing. We need revival. God said, I can't bless what I didn't say. He said, compromise is not in the Bible. He said, what you need to do is just change the title to a disobedient Christian. Wow. Pretty powerful, isn't it? The crowd didn't move him.
Amen.
Amen. The crowd didn't. First time I heard Dr. Simpson's in Mississippi is at that camp meeting. And I told my wife, and he said, you had the Bible college. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to North Carolina. And if he preaches in his church what he preached in Mississippi,
yeah, right.
I'm going to enroll.
That's it.
And I went to his church. I believe he was rougher.
Amen.
I believe he was. And one of his deacons, God bless his heart, he came up to me and gave me a card, Dr. Simpson. He said, fill out this card for me. And I said, if I fill it out, you're going to come visit me. He said, oh, yeah, I'll visit you. And then he said, where you live? I said, I live in Alabama. He said, we'll send the preacher. Amen. We'll send the preacher. Hey, look, John wasn't moved by culture. And John wasn't moved by the crowd. Amen. Number three. Y'all glad it's at number three already? Amen. John wasn't moved by the ceremonialist. Amen. I would love to have said church, and I realize the synagogue wasn't the church. I understand that. But it was the place where people went to learn about God, supposedly. But they had changed the entire concept into going through the motions.
That's it.
And the Pharisees, John dealt with. That's the ones, he said, bring forth fruit. We live in a dispensation, y'all not going to agree with me. It's a dispensation, the Laodicean age, about pleasing the people.
Yes,
and I believe the greatest issue in our churches is unconverted membership.
Yes, absolutely.
Brother Sammy Allen, his whole ministry was based on it, wasn't it? Unconverted. He told me several times, if we could just get our people saved,
yeah,
if we could have revival. You see, in the average church, we need a resurrection instead of revival. And now the average church wants to control the pastor.
Right. That's what I did.
To get them to say what they want to hear.
Always.
Amen. And I love America. And I'm glad Trump's in office. And I'm concerned about the next election. Now, I heard a preacher say this the other day. He said, a national revival without a spiritual revival is a death to a nation. Y'all catch that? And I think we ought to be patriots. But I'm going to tell you, we need God more than anything else. Even if the ceremonial people don't want it, church people.
Sir.
The wind is blowing all around us. People are changing. Let me ask you, are you going to change? I had a guy ask me one time, Brother Roger, he said, well, I don't want to come to your church. If I come there, I may like it. And said, then some other church would give you $100,000 a year. You'd just go there. I thought, I don't know of a church that has $100,000 a year that would consider me. Y'all wasn't supposed to laugh that hard now. Look, how many people do we know that's been carried about with the wind? I want to encourage you. This church has been the same every year I've been here. I've been here a lot of years. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what happened. We've had people come in our church that wanted to change it. We lost one this year. They wanted to redo the nursery. They redone the nursery and put up some verses that wasn't King James. They didn't stay up long. And they left. Somebody said they didn't know. I said, they've been in church long enough up under me. They knew.
Yes.
And we're very small. But if you come on Sunday morning, you'll probably hear something about the King James Bible.
Good.
If you're in Sunday school, you'll hear something about that Bible. Hey, this is not a surprise, but I'll tell you what to do. The wind will blow. I want to get you away from doctrine. Because doctrine is divisive. Doctrine gives you a stand. I want to give you a thought. A lady came up to me the other day and said, our pastor is doctrinally sound. He just uses the wrong word. And I'm thinking, I want to be kind, Dr. Simpson. Is that not doctrine? If you ain't right about the book, what are you right about?
Amen, brother. That's right.
But I know, because every man is right in his own eyes. As long as we preach what people want to hear, it's not offensive to them, they're okay. The wind's blowing.
Yes, sir.
Brother Roger, what went you out to see? A reed? You're shaking with the wind? Oh, no. Oh, no. He was unshakable. And he was unmovable. One old time writer wrote this. The men that moved the world were men that the world could not move. What moves you? What about the culture? I'm 65. I'm seeing things and hearing things I never thought I'd hear.
Sure.
Amen. I never thought I'd hear in public that men want to marry men. I never dreamed that. I never dreamed I'd live in a time where young people want to identify as cats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Amen. And by the way, it only works in certain things.
Yeah.
I've tried it twice. I was turned down both times. Amen. I went to get my driver's license, Brother Tim. She said, "How tall are you?" I said, 6'4". She said, "Mr. Ramsey, you're not 6'4". I said, "I'm identified." She said, "But if you're in a car wreck and you're unconscious, they won't know who's who. They'll think somebody else is driving your car." I said, "Why is it okay if a man wants to say he's a woman?"
That's right. That's right.
Will that not be hard to identify? Whoa, this is not Sally. Huh? Amen. I tried it there. They turned me down, Dr. Simpson. They also turned me down at the bank when I identified as a millionaire. It only works in the liberal mindset. But I did think it was worth a try. Amen. But the culture didn't move him. The crowd didn't move him. And the ceremonial people didn't move him. I want to encourage you, just hang on in there. This thing's about over with. Amen. And we're going to go home. We're going to go home. Church is coming back. He's coming back. I'm excited. You say, times is bad. He said they would be. People's lovers of selves more than lovers of God. That's what he said. Why are we surprised? But what went you out to see? Wouldn't it be great if God could raise up some young people in this church? So one day, if the Lord didn't come back, that some of this stuff would be coming into the church and it'd say, "Not on my watch. No, 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 not on my watch. The wind is not going to control my trust, my faith, and my obedience to God." Well, if we could do it. Young people, get that settled. Amen.
Yeah, man.
That's what we need. Pastor, you come.